Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy everybody, Gwen the Geek here from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 16th, 2013, episode 573. Good morning, horse people.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. Downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Yeah. Glenn, are you there? Did you fall asleep? I think you did. Oh my gosh, we lost Glenn right in the middle of... Is that Isaac Hayes singing that? Because I know Isaac Hayes. Well, who's the guy that's singing that one, Jennifer?
You know, I think it might be an Isaac Hayes impersonator, if memory serves.
No, there's two guys that sing like that, and they're both very funny. I think of Isaac Hayes because of South Park. So it sounds a little like South Park guy, but I don't think it's him. I think it's the other guy, and I'm drawing a blank on the name. Somebody will tell me here in a second. But, yeah. Nice, classy hump day. Hump day.
I don't know who it was either. I can't help you.
What do you mean you put it together?
I know, and I don't know who it was. I don't remember.
All right, I'm going to have to Google this. Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. Hey, you know, one of the things that Jamie used a lot that has gone totally out of favor now, but she probably lived on it because she was in the radio business in Atlanta for 10 years during the height of MySpace.com. And I got to imagine that you guys in the radio business at that point were using MySpace, was it? That was pre-Facebook. And you were using it all the time, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, in the latter part of my radio career, at the beginning, there was nothing. I mean, if you wanted to talk to a DJ, you would have to call the radio station. And it was so fun to take calls from listeners. And you know, you always hear DJs giving out the phone number, 741-0997. Oh, my God, I said that one so many times. 741-9400, 741-100.5. Those were the three numbers. Three radio stations, 741-0949. That's another station I worked for. Oh, my God, I can't believe I remember all those.
I can't either because right now I'll ask you, what's our call-in number?
Oh, God. Three. Exactly.
You can never remember the one you're currently on.
No. No, but ours is not... It's not like we're a horse radio network, because they just dial horse radio, you know, on your phone.
Right.
I worked for 99.7, and it was 741-0997. I worked for 100.5. It was 741-100.5.
Anyway, I wanted to say that MySpace just put out a new look yesterday, completely revamped everything. Because MySpace went down the tubes. Partly because Facebook came on and MySpace had gotten so cluttered up with crap. I mean, people could make their pages do anything, and it just turned into confusing garbage. Well, they came out with this new website, which I logged into this morning, and let me tell you what, it's different. It's different. One of the things I hate about it. Well, first of all, Justin Timberlake is part owner of MySpace now. And when you go to the new MySpace.com, guess who you see really huge on the homepage?
Oh, my God, he looks so good. Hello, Justin.
It has now become the Justin Timberlake MySpace.com. And you'll find Justin referenced many places throughout what you do your user experience. Now, it makes you sign in before you can do anything, pretty much. So I just use my Facebook and sign in because I haven't had a MySpace account in about 10 years. And one of the things I hate about it, and it's going to draw a lot of complaints, is that when you go into the sections to try and do something, it makes you scroll left to right, which instead of up and down, everything scrolls left to right. And people just tend to, as a user experience, people don't like that. So that's an interesting thing. Obviously, they're trying to be different, and they're trying to really stand out. It has a lot to do still with music. I think music is the driving force here, and it says you can listen to the largest library of music available anywhere. So you have to check it out, the new MySpace.com. We'll see what it does.
Well, you know, here's the irony, is that if anybody has seen the Facebook movie, Justin Timberlake is actually in the Facebook movie. So he must have been so... Yeah, he plays the guy who founded Napster, and he's one of the big people associated with Facebook later on after Mark Zuckerberg makes the whole page and everything. Justin Timberlake's character comes on and is a big part of the Facebook, makes it Facebook. He must have just got the internet bug and decided to jump in. But to me, Facebook it was such a great tool at first, but what was great about MySpace is that you could MySpace stalk people. You know, it was no privacy pages, anything like that. If you wanted to check out a dude and see everything about him, you just went to his MySpace page, looked at everything, looked at all the comments, like, oh, clearly he's got a girlfriend, or he's dating this girl, and, oh, well, he's not as cute as I was hoping he'd be, blah, blah, blah. Those were the ways that girls like me used MySpace.
Well, MySpace was sold a couple years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, for something like $500 million. And when Justin and his little group of investors bought it last year, he bought it for $35 million, down from $500 million. That's how much it had dropped in value. So he bought it for pennies on the dollar, only $35
million. Yeah, but MySpace is, I mean, yeah, it just seems a little lame. I'm sorry. I can't keep up with all these Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook and all this crap. I can't do it all. If I did all of it, I would be on the computer all day. I can't take it anymore.
Well, Jennifer, we have a busy show today, so tell us what's coming up.
On today's Wacky Wednesday edition, headlines of the harrowing as well as hilarious sorts provide the backdrop for our usual visit from Horse & Country TV's Victoria Spicer. And following hot on her heels, the Horse.com gang hits the airwaves with the latest on senior horse nutrition. And we're going to get a visit from a gal who lost her horse in the forest, and hopefully there will be good news when she calls in. And if you love yourself a good martini, shaken not stirred, you can thank the event that occurred on this day, 1919, the 18th Amendment, more commonly known as Prohibition, took effect. You know why you ended up with martini?
What was that?
I said, do you know why we ended up with martinis during Prohibition?
No, because there was one booze that was legal. Oh, no, because it was medicinal.
No, you ended up with cocktails because the liquor that was available at the speakeasies was frequently so horrific tasting that they had to add additional non-alcoholic ingredients to make it palatable.
Oh, that's a good thing, because
the way
I really
now.
Like mixed drink.
True.
Hasn't changed a bit, has it?
No.
My daily Winnie goes out to our friend Tammy from the Western Radio Show. She had, we talked about her last week, having an auction to try and raise money for her surgery. Well, she had her surgery yesterday, and I got a little note from her last night. Apparently, she was in the hospital, and this is what she said. Hi, guys. I had a five-hour face-down surgery, which I think means that they were operating on the back of her head. But I am okay, doing good. 5 hours, by the way. Doing good. Can't sleep, hooked up to noisy machine and sitting upright. So watched Weather Channel all night. Thank you so much for all your support. My face has swelled up from lying down so long, and I am missing a bunch of hair, but I'm in good spirits and grateful and blessed for all my friends. And she says, Glenn, please thank all those from the auction. It is still going, even adding stuff still. Support is amazing. Thank you, Tammy. So apparently she got through the auction. She did say in a separate email that they found the nerve damage that they were looking for, and they think that they were able to fix it so that hopefully she'll stop having the problems that she was having as a result of the accident that she was in. So that's hopefully good news for Tammy.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Well, nothing I could say could follow that, but I do have a little bit of good news and good entertaining news. And then after we play the audio, we get to make fun of it. So the other day in Nashville, Tennessee, it has been raining quite a bit, and this woman owns this big farm. Not big farm. She owns this kind of mud pit farm that her back fence is a creek. So just to give you an idea of what type of facility this is, it's kind of a backyard farm. It's like, you know, barbed wire fencing and all that kind of stuff. Well, at one point, it's been raining so much that one of her old horses was walking around out back, got too close to said creek. The embankment collapsed, and the horse tumbled down into the water. Well, nobody knew it because everybody was inside. They didn't see the horse tumble out into the back because there's no fence in the back of the property. Well, when said horse tumbled into the water, apparently he was swept away down the water and couldn't get up. It was very, very muddy, and he was spotted by one individual who was out in a boat fishing on the river, just like any good country boy redneck should, and his name happened to be Luke Bryan. Luke Bryan, that's right, the country singer, star country singer Luke Bryan, alerts the authorities, alerts the owners of the farm, hey, your horse is back here. They all spent time getting the horse rescued. I don't think Luke Bryan actually got the horse out of the creek bed. That would be too heroic. But they get the horse in, and they take care of it, and they save the day, and it's all because of Luke Bryan. So we have the audio from the news story that was done about this. Are we ready to play it?
Here we go.
Team effort to save a horse that took a terrifying fall into the Harpeth River, and the weather may have played a role.
The horse tumbled 15 feet into the water last night when a rain-soaked riverbank gave way in Franklin. Tonight, the owner is crediting a country star for saving the day. Channel 4's Josh Devine with a story you won't see anywhere else. Josh?
Pretty amazing here, Demetria. Misty looks like any other 15-year-old horse. Today, she seemed fine. That against the terrible odds of what happened last night.
Misty is an Appaloosa.
A horse and its owner always have a special bond.
I went to Florida 5 years ago and rescued her and brought her back.
But tonight, Janet McCormick and Misty have something else they share.
She needs a good bath.
An amazing story of survival. Last night, Misty wandered too far through the backfield on Janet's property in Franklin and got in trouble when the riverbank gave way.
Oh. Yes, it was very upsetting, very, very stressful.
At best guess, it looks like Misty lost her footing right about here at the edge of the Harpeth. As you can see, this is really steep, so the animal wound up tumbling about 15 feet with only her head sticking out of the water.
I'm just very, very glad that it wasn't as cold as it has been.
Perhaps the weather helped save the day. Baby, who we are. Country star Luke Bryan, who lives nearby, was boating the Harpeth last night. He spotted the horse and stopped, and along with a friend, alerted the family and rescuers.
It was a blessing. If they hadn't been going down the river in the boat, I wouldn't have known that she'd fallen in.
It took a team of about a dozen people several hours to free Misty from the chilly Harpeth. Plan after plan seemed to fail until something finally worked.
They had to halter her, and with some straps and a tractor and a lot of manpower, to get her pulled out of the mud and get her back up on the shore. It's nice to have a happy ending to a story, especially one that could have turned out so much differently.
This afternoon, after a lot of rest...
Oh, she loves that.
Misty seems fine. Aside from a little limp, you would hardly know anything happened. But, of course, Janet won't soon forget.
You can't thank anybody enough for taking an interest and being so helpful and genuine. And it's a blessing to have good neighbors.
Yeah, and so the news story is all done, and we're not going to stick around on this because we have a guest on the line, but I was laughing because this horse, you know, you got the news crew coming to your house. This horse is so dirty. I mean, covered in mud. The place is a disaster. The horse is covered. It's a gray horse, too, and it's covered in mud. Yes, it was rescued, but those of us who have a little pride would probably try to give our horse a bath before 16 news cameras came in and took pictures of our horses. That was just what I was thinking. Did that cross your mind at all, Glenn?
Yeah, the horse was, and this was the day after, I believe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what crossed my mind, too. But thankfully, Luke Bryan happened to be fishing.
Woo-hoo!
Like a good country boy.
I know. I love it. So, anyway, that was my daily winning goes out to Luke Bryan. Thanks for jumping in there, buddy.
Well, we have somebody on the line that I hope has a happy ending, just like this story does. I got about 12 emails yesterday and also about 4 voicemails that all came in because we're centered in Ocala here in Florida, the Horse Radio Network is, about Robin who lost her horse in Ocala, and she's going to tell us about that, and hopefully we can help get the word out so that she has a happy ending also. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Glenn. Thank you. Thanks for your help. And that was a very heartwarming story for the app that was rescued. That's a scary one when they're bogged down. So hopefully, in due time, we'll find my little gray guy.
Well, first of all, how do you say your guy's name?
Maruf.
Maruf. Okay. So tell us about Maruf first before we find out what happened.
He's a full-blood, purebred registered Arab that I bought probably about 4 years ago. He was in a situation maybe not so great, and I took him on. I picked up endurance riding. I started with competitive trail, and we did quite well with that. And then I moved on to some endurance riding with him. We actually shipped out to Tevis 1 year in 2010 with my girlfriend, her horse. Yes, and my girlfriend did get her buckle. We, however, did not, but it was a great experience, and so, you know, we've been riding since, and, you know, he's just a personable little guy. He was a project when I got him, and, you know, there's quite a bond there, and I'm just hoping that his survival tactics will kick in out there.
So you came up to the Gator Run 50, which happens near Ocala here in one of the forests, correct?
Correct. It's in the Ghost Forest. And the trailhead that we camp at is actually called Tidewater. He was up there about maybe 3 weeks ago at the, I'm going to say it was the Black Prong campground for the ride. And so he's, you know, I don't want to say totally familiar with the campground that we were at. It's a big place. So that's where we started out, and I was bopping along on the first loop, and, you know, he's not a spooky horse. He's a great horse, and I don't know what hit him, something, because last I remember was he was in a dead gallop, and I was hanging on his neck, and next thing I knew I was in the forester's truck on a ride back to camp. So some other riders had seen where he just kept going in a, you know, a dead run. So it's a mystery as to what happened. I've lost probably a good 15 minutes of memory anyway. And so he's out there, and several endurance riders have come together, and they're riding out there. We've tried to notify as many people as we can or know how. There are flyers out. I put them up on Net Posse. And
I first want to say that I'm so glad you're okay.
Telling you, if it wasn't for a helmet. Anybody that doesn't want a helmet out there, I'll show you a picture of this one, because I think I might be 6 foot under if I wasn't wearing it.
Well, you definitely do that. Take a picture of your helmet and post it on our Horses in the Morning page, because we are big believers in helmets, and we try and remind people all the time of why they're so important. So let's start with that. Now, so he took off, and to give people an idea who might not be familiar with Ghost State Forest here in Florida, it's a huge forest. It's 53,000 acres. And I assumed you were out in the middle of it someplace.
Yeah, I was actually between the trailheads of Apex and the Tidewater. I was able to zero it down where some of the search party found my glasses the following, or 2 days later, they found my glasses. So that's generally where we were. But it's between those two trailheads where we became separated. But there's no telling. He could be traveling and wandering, or he could be close to where we separated. We just can't see him because that thick palmetto stuff, you know, hard to see in there.
Well, the one good thing about being in there, now, he had his tack on, which obviously you were concerned about him getting hung up, and rightfully
yeah.
so. But the one good thing about Arabs, number one, and horses, number two, is that in that particular forest, there's lots to eat and there's lots of water sources. So, you know, and Arabs being resourceful, you know, I think he's having a party in there, to be honest with you. I think he found himself in meadow, and he's just hanging out, eating, going, I'm free.
Yeah, well, he'll be grounded when we find his little gray ass, that's for sure. But, yes, there was plenty of water that day, and I'm no reason to believe it's not still there. So that part is encouraging. There's plenty of water, and there's plenty of forage for him. So.
Now, you were on the Orange Loop? Is that where you were?
Yeah, I was on the Orange Loop. And our loop is mapped out. It's a permanently marked trail, but sometimes we go off and make little circles so we can get our distance.
And to give people an idea, don't know what we're talking about, all the forests and the greenway and things here in Florida are labeled, there's different riding paths, and they all are color-coded. So if
yes.
you go and park and want to go on one of the trails here in the forests, they're labeled for horses, and there's the easy, the medium, and the hard.
Yeah.
And they'll
yeah.
give you those loops, and you follow it. So it is, you know, I'm throwing that out there because people might not know what that means.
Sure. No, and that's a fair assessment. Until I started the endurance riding, I had no idea. But they are permanently marked on the trees, and you just follow your color. So we were following orange, and sometimes when we have an event, they may have a spin off of orange and do a little circle so we can make the trail longer than it is. But we were about 12 miles into the 22-mile loop when we separated, and that's all that I recall.
All right, so Robin, tell me, what is being done to recover him right now?
As we speak, several endurance riders live on the outskirts of that forest, and I've gotten several notifications on Facebook and emails. People that are asking me for a more defined spot as to where we were, and they're just heading out and riding, and just riding with wide open eyes, and hopefully their horses might make noise, and then, you know, mine would nicker in return. There is a gentleman named Barry that offered to float over today, so we're working on that. I think that's really...
The offer to what? I'm sorry, you broke up.
To fly over in a plane and see if they can spot him.
Wow.
And that would help because he is gray, so he should stand out if he's
right.
not. If there's not too much canopy from the trees.
We had a similar situation to this happen when when was it last year, Jennifer, up in Lexington. Which forest was that? That was out Shaker Village.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, there was a horse. There's trails throughout the forest there around Shaker Village in Lexington, Kentucky, and there was a horse that got loose, same thing. And they actually found him 10 days later, and he was fine. So there's hope for even a number of times because they do have something to eat and drink in there. So that's
there
the positive.
There is hope for that. It's a position I never felt that I would ever be in. You know, you kind of read things and think, wow, that would have to be awful. Well, it is awful. It's terrible. And, you know, maybe I'll spend a few bucks on some kind of tracker or something. I can...
Yeah,
right into
that's
his
tough.
Mane.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. They must have those things. And I was going to ask you before, did you end up getting him on Net Posse? Because that tends to be the first place that people go when they either find a horse or lose a horse is
yeah.
on netposse.com.
I did put him on there. It's a fabulous site. And because of this incident, now that I see it, it's something that, you know, as a fellow rider, I will be more in tune with that site to see if there's, you know, just check it each day. Just kind of like a Facebook
right.
thing. See what's on Net Posse, who needs help, who lost a horse.
Absolutely. Just in this area, somebody, their pony went missing. And because of Net Posse, it was recovered because of the Facebook and Net Posse. Somebody had stolen it, was trying to sell it down the street. So
wow.
you just never know when people are looking at it and find things and see things. So this is going to be... This is going to have a happy ending, I guarantee it. He's going to get hungry and want to come home here shortly.
Yes, I'm hoping, and I'm being optimistic. Again, I'm thankful that, you know, I could have been in much worse shape. You know, each day goes by, you start thinking like, wow, did I dodge one there? So hopefully he's dodging the bullets and we'll be reunited, because he's really a cute little guy.
Well, very good, Robin. We wish you the best of luck. We're going to post on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Jennifer, if you could post the next posse report. And there's also a Facebook page set up for you guys, and it's gotten a lot of shares. I've seen this now everywhere, thanks to Facebook. That might be your savior here, so we'll post that as well. And good luck. We'll keep in touch, and hopefully we'll have a happy ending by the time the week's out here.
Thank you so much. I very much appreciate all your help.
Thank you,
Enjoy
Robin.
Your day.
All righty.
Bye.
Hey, Glenn, have you ever been skiing?
Snow skiing?
Yeah.
Very unsuccessfully, yes.
Oh, okay. Or snowmobiling. You wear these things that attach to your machine, like your skis and also to the snowmobile. If you fall off, the engine has to shut down and it has to stop. And I think we have to figure out something to do with horses. Like, how many of us have fallen off a horse and the horse always runs away? There's got to be some sort of technique to, like, have an attachment from you to your horse, just like the .2 air vest. The second you come disconnected from your horse, poof, your horse has to stop.
There you go. That's perfect. I like that.
I think it'd be great.
You work on that genetic thing, okay?
Okay, I'll work on it. That'd be great.
Let's take a break.
Pop out.
For our sponsor, Equestrian Collections, and then we're going to be back with the European Report with Victoria Spicer. We'll be right back. Hi, Glenn here, founder of the Horse Radio Network, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
Hi, Glenn. This week I want to feature the Winter Cozy Helmet Cover. Everybody out there probably already has a fleece helmet cover, but they don't have one like this. This is just the cutest thing. They've taken the basic design, the Lycra part goes over the helmet. A lot of the fleece covers used to be fleece all the way around. This is much easier to get on your helmet. It's a Lycra, like most of the helmet covers, you know, regular helmet covers. And then it's got the fleece that comes around and Velcros around your chin. You can also pull it up if you want to a little bit. But the difference is that they have colors. Instead of always being black, these come in a whole bunch of fun colors, and the kids love them. At the barns, they're just, for $13.95, they are just a really fun thing, and the kids like to wear them in the winter, and it will get them out to ride a little bit more if they're not so cold. So I have one, so I thought maybe your listeners might enjoy these as well.
So it combines a helmet cover with a scarf.
Yes, it does, yeah. Only better because it Velcros so it doesn't flap around or anything, really easy to get on and off. I actually got one for my trainer for a Christmas present because he keeps wanting me to build an indoor. I can't do that, so I gave him one of these, and I said, here's your indoor.
Here's your $13.95 indoor.
Yeah, exactly.
These are $13.95. They're called the Winter Cozy Helmet Covers from Equestrian Collections. Just go to equestriancollections.com and do a search for Winter Cozy, and you'll find them.
Well, we'd like to thank them for being a sponsor of today's show. Now, we've got our next guest on the line, but before she starts talking, I want to let everybody know in the world that vegetarianism is an option. You can be a vegetarian. It's not that hard. Just stop eating meat. Stop eating meat, people, and you're going to find out why here in just a second. Victoria, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Good morning. Now, why would I be advocating everybody become a vegetarian in the whole entire world this fine morning?
Well, you know, when you go and you go to the supermarket and you pick up some, like, salami or something, and you look at it and you think, I wonder if this is all what it's meant to be and if there's ever any traces of horse meat in there. And you kind of think, well, just avoid those kind of meats. You don't really expect to go and pick up your average beef burger and find that it's one-third horse meat. It's been a huge story here for us today. Not very pleasant.
That is awful. Okay, so
this is not just some random third world country. This is Europe that is finding horse meat in the hamburgers of its supermarkets, right?
Indeed. Like, we ran a story last month saying that quite often horse meat's a hidden ingredient in frozen food, and a lot of horse meat in Belgium and France and Netherlands you end up getting it in your convenience food. And that's pretty shocking. But then to find out that burgers being made in Britain and Ireland and sold here that are ending up being quite high levels of horse meat in them, it's just really quite revolting. And
now, is that legal? Is it legal in England? What's the story there?
I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I think they have been caught, and I think they have been withdrawn. I'd imagine the legalities of it comes up that if you call something a beef burger, you don't really expect to find other meat in there. You know, you'd be surprised if it happened with other products, and if there was things with, like, religious things about what you can and can't eat, you want to be knowing that what you're buying has got the correct ingredients in it. So, and it's upset a lot of people, and I think I wouldn't want to be working in Tesco's PR department this morning, because I think they'd be getting a lot of complaints.
Oh, without a doubt. This is going to be a huge problem, not just because of horse people being very upset about it. I mean, most people don't want to eat horses when that's not what they're buying. That's a problem. But also, they're finding a lot of pork in these burgers tested as well. And people, for religious reasons, don't eat pig. A lot of religions don't eat pig. And so this is actually causing problems for them as well. So this is making a whole lot of people angry, isn't it?
Absolutely. I saw somewhere that according to the test, that actually there was like 0.1% of human DNA coming up in the sample. Apparently that's to do with like breast and handling and just it's quite normal, but it is quite disgusting.
Fingers and you know.
Yeah.
We're not.
Oh, God. Okay, if you didn't want to be a vegetarian because you found horse meat in your burger, somebody chopped their finger off and it got ground up in the ground beef that you just bought at the grocery store. Good
Aren't
God.
Aren't we glad to invite Victoria on this morning? Aren't we so glad she's here?
I just like to say on the behalf of Britain and Ireland that we're not all cannibals here, so we don't really want to. But lots of people have been, you know, there's so many jokes about it, like from non-horsey people and from horsey people, and lots of people have pointed out that horses are in the food chain and people do eat them, and even horse owners have said, you know, they are meat and they've eaten it themselves. But I'm afraid I'm sticking to the thing of I wouldn't eat a dog, I wouldn't eat a cat, and I certainly wouldn't eat a horse. So even though I'm not a vegetarian, sorry. And sorry,
I'm
Jamie. But
I think we're all with you.
But yeah, don't fancy eating horse, and yeah, it's put me off buying cheap supermarket burgers as if I needed any help to be put off those.
Well, can we get on to something? Go to the next story there, Jamie.
I still think you all should become vegetarians. It's not that hard. And you won't eat anybody else's finger, okay? Seriously, if you just stay away from me. All right, next thing. Okay, here we go. The Equestrian Social Media Awards. There is a category called Broadcast. I'm looking for it here. The Broadcast Media, Best Broadcast Media. You've got places like Equestrian Life Australia, Horse and Country TV, congratulations, Horse Rush TV, RSD TV, the USEF Network, all these fantastic, huge broadcast medias. And then in that category is the teeny tiny Horse Radio Network.
Oh, congratulations. We're rivals once again. I seem to remember this happening last year as well. So
yes, it did. It did. And we were so close to beating you. I think it was like separated by like maybe one vote.
Oh. thanks to my mum there for saving the day.
Seriously, but my mom.
I think we should get a pity vote. I think all our listeners should just go give us a pity vote, because look, it's Horse Country TV. You guys are huge. RFD TV is huge. USEF Network is huge, and it's just little old us.
Oh, well, there's not that many other equestrian radio stations, whereas there seems to be quite a few equestrian TV stations, so you should feel quite special.
Well, see, that's why I think that it needs to be its own category. You could have, like, equestrian television and then equestrian radio, and seeing that we're the only equestrian radio there is, we would win every
Indeed.
Year.
I think that's fair. I think they should also have best use of Twitter by Scottish equestrian journalist called Vicky. I think that would be I think that would be there as well. I might suggest that to Liam from the ESMA Awards and see what he says.
I think that'd be a great idea. We could make a whole lot of categories, actually. We'd all be winners. All right, well, tell us what else is going on. Else is going on at Horse and Country TV.
Well, we're really chuffed to see that Charlotte Dujardin, one of our television stars, has just reclaimed number one spot in the world. So she's officially having won Olympic double gold. She's gone ahead of Adelinda Cornelsen to head the rankings. So that's pretty great. We're really happy with that.
And that's the first time in a while for a British person, right?
Yeah, like Adeline pushed Charlotte down in second place because of the World Cup, and because of all the World Cup competitions tend to be on the continent apart from Olympia, the British riders don't necessarily go to them all, whereas the continental ones, it's a lot easier for them. So she got pushed down, but now she's back on top.
Now, there's been a big story going around on Facebook, pretty much everywhere, that there is now the most beautiful horse in the world has been found. And they're calling it the Akoltiki. I think that's how you say it. I can't remember. But it's a breed from Turkmenistan or Russia, that area. And why has this become such a big story?
Well, there's lots of controversy about the picture because some people are saying it's photoshopped and it's not real. But this horse is just the most bizarre color. It's kind of the palest Palomino skin color with the same matching tail, and it shimmers a bit like gold, and it's very bizarre. So everyone's agreed that it's very beautiful to look at in its coat, and everybody wants to stroke it. But its conformation is a little bit to be desired. I won't be swapping my lovely thoroughbred for this one anytime soon.
Yeah, I thought about that. Now, there is a whole bunch of pictures you can find. I think it was Horse Nation that did it. And they showed a whole bunch of the Akoltikis, and the long list of them, they all have these amazing, beautiful coats. But yeah, looking at this horse, I'm like, okay, first of all, teach it to drop its head a little bit. It's like standing like a dang giraffe. It's like its neck is put backward. It's U-necked. Its rump is higher than its wither. Of course, you can pick it apart as a horse person, but very striking. And it has something to do with the metallic. The coat looks like metallic, but it's because of some sort of the hair shaft is a little bit different. Have you heard that or read that?
I haven't, but I was hoping it was just some magic treatment that they put on, and we could all buy it for our horses and have them all super shiny as well. But obviously not.
Yeah, I don't think it works like that. Good luck. I think you actually have to have one of these horses. All right, and then let's see. What else? We've got your Thursday is your premiere of Carl and Charlotte. Speaking of Charlotte, the Golden Year. Tell us what that is.
Well, it's a follow-up to our series last year, which was very successful, called Carl and Charlotte Dress as Superstars. And this basically is catching up with the pair since they went off to the Olympics and picked up multiple medals. And so we've been out filming them and speaking to them about what the year has meant to them, and also catching more footage of Allegro and Utopia, who are still at the yard. So whatever the controversy about them being sold or where they're going, they're still there, and they're going beautifully. And it premieres this Thursday in the UK and Ireland, and you can watch lots of preview clips online if you're over in the States. And we'll be giving extra footage as well to post on our website. So do join us on Facebook so that you can follow all of those as they come out.
Cool. Okay, I found it. Here you go. The hair structure of the Akoltiki is quite fine and rather unusual. Their glow is caused by the smallness or even absence of the opaque core that is typically at the center of the hair shaft. The transparent part of the hair takes up the extra space and acts like a fiber optic tube, bending the light through one side of the hair and refracting it through the other side. That's why it has that shimmering, glittery color. Did you guys follow that?
I got a bit lost with the light refracting, but I totally got the gist. It's very nice. And talking of eye-catching horses, if there's one thing you do, head to horseandcountry.tv/video, because since January, we've got a New Year's resolution of uploading daily videos as often as we can, and we've got a brand new video that went up last night of this Palomino stallion, and it's Palomino warm blood, which isn't particularly common, and he can really move. And so if you want an eye-catching horse that does have beautiful conformation, have a look at this one. It's much nicer.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I saw the video too. Somebody posted it on my page, and oh my gosh, just a stunning dressage stallion that you just never see Palomino warm bloods, especially Palomino's doing really fancy dressage. So it is a very cool video. Check that out at Horse and Country TV. And how's your horse doing, by the way?
He is good. I rode him this morning, and he moved yards a couple of months ago because I've moved out of London into the countryside. And I rode this morning, and it's -2 degrees. The outside arena is frozen solid. None of the horses can get out their field. But I now have an indoor arena to ride in, so I was quite happy.
Now, are you talking -2 in Celsius?
Yes, -2 Celsius.
What is that? Because we're so backwards here in the U.S. Let's see. -2 Celsius.
Well,
is what is that?
Freezing in Celsius. Now, Fahrenheit, oh gosh, I'm not very good at changing Celsius to Fahrenheit. That's something. But yeah, zero is frozen, so it's -2.
Doesn't matter what it is in Fahrenheit, it just sounds cold. And that sounds really, really cold. And good for you for getting out there and getting on your horse.
And I think it's about like in the 20s, yes, 28 degrees Fahrenheit this morning, and it was very cold.
Good Lord. Well, enjoy that. That sounds fun. have a great day. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We will talk to you again next week.
Brilliant. Have a great week.
All right. I'm trying to calculate that. Convert
it is.
Celsius.
It's about 28 or something like that. So it's close to that. She was right about that, I think. Hey, a couple things,
man,
before we get to our song today. We have so much going on today. We didn't get to our housekeeping things. Really Bad Ads is coming up this Friday, and we have a prize for you, a Spurs Suader. Those are the Spurs that have sort of the blunt end on them instead of the pointy side. And they're the favorite. Jennifer loves the Spurs Suaders. So why do you like them, Jennifer? Tell everybody why you like Spurs Suaders.
Spurs Suaders are just the right length. They're not too long and they're not too short. And the big and, frankly, rather obnoxious buttony end on the end keeps my horse from making that ugly face, swat your tail, tense your side reaction when I touch him with those. With
the
like
don't
him.
Poke me reaction. I hate your
yes,
gut reaction. Yes,
me,
that one.
Yes. You avoid that reaction with the Spurs Suaders.
And these are really great. They become very popular, and they're available in English or Western. And you're going to get your choice if you win Really Bad Ads this Friday of the English version or the Western version. You just let us know, and we'll have them shipped out to you. Thanks to the people at Spurs Suader for donating that prize this week. You can find more information at spursuader.com. And, of course, we are nominated in the Best Broadcast Media of the Social Media Awards. We would love your vote. If you hop on over to the link that Jennifer's going to put on our Facebook page, EquestrianSocialMediaAwards.com, and vote for us in Category 19 for Best Broadcast Media. And if you're a regular listener to the show and you look in other categories, there are a ton of people that have been on our show here at Horses in the Morning that are nominated. I don't know if you noticed when you went to vote how many of the different categories, Jamie. We've had a lot of those people on our shows. So,
oh, it was fun to go through and to vote for everybody and just recognize, you know, basically there's a lot of categories, like our category, that is an international category. There's pretty much people from all over the world that do broadcast media are in our category, and this is the same. So a lot of them, you just go through and pick the one that you recognize.
Right.
Because clearly they're doing something right if you recognize their name. And that's when I went through. But then I got to the talking horse section, and you're supposed to vote for your favorite talking horse. And I love Ask Murray. Have you read any of the Ask Murrays?
Yeah, she's actually been on the Staple Scoop radio show several times, and she's coming on again next week. And she's going to be a regular contributor every month to the Staple Scoop radio show. She's going to come on and actually do one of the questions that Murray gets asked, and we're going to talk about the answer. So she's going to be a regular contributor over on Staple Scoop. Thanks for setting that up, by the way.
I didn't even know that. The other one is Fergus, which is a cartoon horse. And so Ask Murray and Fergus are two of my favorite things to read, and I had to pit them against each other. You had to pick one. You couldn't pick two. I'm not telling you I picked. Voting is none of your business. My vote is my concern. Just kidding. I actually did. I picked Murray over Fergus because I think Murray's are a little bit cuter. They seem to make a little more sense to me in my life. But, yeah, definitely, if you haven't seen Ask Murray, for those of the listeners of our show, go to Ask Murray on Facebook. Just search for it, and it is incredibly entertaining.
Well, the same woman that does Ask Murray, which was her horse, by the way, Murray was her horse, she also does all the cartoons, the real funny cartoons that you see. She's a cartoonist, and it's Misfit Designs. If you see cartoons that say Misfit Designs on them about horses, that's her. So she draws all those as well. She's worked for magazines and publications for years. She's pretty well known in that world. Really neat lady.
I don't care about her. I just like her horse because he answers really good questions.
Well, something else too that we are sponsoring now is we're sponsoring Frankie Lovato's racing term of the week, and he's doing a racing term of the day. We talked about that last week when we had him on the show, and we're now sponsoring one day a week of his racing terms. And we would like to play for you one day a week on Wednesdays, the term that we're sponsoring, because we think it's really neat. He's really going through and explaining to people the racing terms that you hear when you watch racing, but you don't quite know what they mean, or you hear the exercise riders, the jockeys talking about it, and you go, I sort of know what that means, maybe. These are really terrific. It's well produced, and he's putting them out every day. So we would love to help support him. He has a YouTube channel. And you want to hear today's?
Please, I love this segment. I love it.
Okay.
Hi, this is Jockey World Radio's Britlin Wall, and welcome to Frankie Lovato's 365-day Racing Terminology Challenge. With this challenge, we aim to bring racing terms to life for you, the fans, every day of 2013. This is in support of Jockey World's mission to improve, promote, and provide more education, health, and safety in the world of horse racing.
This is Jockey World's Kayla Darvinen, and with this clip, we would like to thank today's sponsor, Horses in the Morning, the favorite morning radio show for horse lovers worldwide. Visit horsesinthemorning.com.
And this is Frankie Lovato, and today's term is number 15 of 365, Bad Gate Horse. A horse that misbehaves inside or around the starting gate. Many horses get very anxious in or around the starting gate, and for good reason. If the gates are new to a horse, they can appear to be a big, scary monster. If the gates are familiar to them, they might think it's time to run. Great measures going to making sure that all horses can remain calm and collected around the gate. Much schooling practice with the horses and gate crew happen every morning during training hours. And for those horses that need the extra attention, get it.
For more information, or if you would like to sponsor some of our terminology clips, please email info@jockeyworld.org. You may also be interested in Frankie Lovato's Racing Terminology booklet, which is for sale in the Jockey World store and available at jockeyworld.org. All proceeds go to Jockey World, a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
That also applies to scary dressage horse, scary event horse, scary trailer horse. Applies to a lot of different things in the horse world, I think.
Yeah. absolutely. This is a bad trailer horse. This is a bad clipper
right.
horse. This is a bad bath horse.
That's right. Well, our song today is brought to you by Audible.com. I heard from one of our listeners yesterday that we turned on to Audible, that she's been listening to a lot of Audible books now. and you can as well. Audible has over 100,000 audiobooks for you to listen to. It's very simple and easy to download them to one of 500 different devices that you can get. You can get from Audible, so you can listen to them almost anything that you have, any kind of player or phone or whatever on your computer. You can listen anytime, anywhere. I listen to a lot of books. Jennifer and I have listened to over 100 books since we signed up about 10 years ago. And one of the cool things is, thanks to being a listener of the Horse Radio Network, you can get a free book and 30-day free trial just by going to audibletrial.com/HRN. Audibletrial.com/HRN will get you a free book. You can try anything you want. And also, you get 30 days to look around and give it a try. We know that once you give Audible a try, you will get hooked. And you will be listening to audiobooks every place you go when you're not listening to our show. Let's clarify that first. So audibletrial.com/HRN. Jamie, I have a special treat for our song today. We are going to have a guest on Monday that is an up-and-coming star in Nashville. And I'm not even going to say her name today. We're just going to play one of her songs, and you're going to see why we're so excited to get her on before she goes big time, because she's definitely going to be doing that. So this song is called Country Girl, and you'll find out on Monday who it's by. Breaking down, and you That's Country Girl by our guest that's going to be with us on Monday, and we'll learn a lot more about her on Monday, but I will tell you this, she is a country girl. That song's about her, so we're looking forward to having her on, and I'm glad that we were able to get her before she went big time, and then won't talk to us anymore. So.
And you know, every time you say country girl, it makes me think of that Country Girl by Luke Bryan. Country girl, take it from me, girl. Take it from me, girl. Take it from me. Man, I can sing. God, I don't know why anybody hasn't signed me yet.
I'll contact this girl's record label and we'll see if they're interested. Okay, I'll send her the tape.
I mean, I can do backup for Luke Bryan. He's a horse-saving guy, you know. I mean, he obviously likes country girl. That's born in Georgia. I mean, come on. Seriously. I'm perfect for that job.
Well, we have a couple of news stories, don't we, before we get to thehorse.com this morning.
We sure do, and what a waste of time this first one is. Okay, there is funding that is going on for a two-year research. 2 years of somebody's life is about to be spent doing a research project on feeding horses oats. Yes, you heard me correct. Dr. Lawrence of the University of Kentucky, because there's a lot of money in Kentucky, apparently, is going to receive more than $122,000 in funding for the research, which begins next month. Believe it or not, guess where the money's coming from? You're never going to guess.
I don't know. Okay. Let's say the government somehow.
No, somehow, probably, but it's the Equine Feed Oat Project is funding this.
The what?
The Equine Feed Oat Project, or EFOP, as they like to be called. It's the initiative of the Prairie Oat Growers Association, a nonprofit organization representing 15,000 Canadian oat farmers. Okay, so if somebody gives me $122,000 to say, you know, I think oats are good for horses, and horses have been eating oats for thousands of years, give me $122,000, I'll say it. Yes. Yes. We should definitely feed oats to horses, which means that the Canadian oat farmers will stay in business another couple years. Does that seem ridiculous?
How would you like to be the horses in the test study? Because you would have to do a test study and feed them oats, right, over 2 years? So you got all these horses that are just hanging out eating oats all day. That's not a bad gig.
You know what's amazing is that they actually received a matching fund for the grant from the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture through its agriculture. Let me just point out that these are a whole lot of places that employ people via the government money. So this is tax money for the Agriculture Development Fund, which every year provides over $10 million in funding project researching public and private development in order to create future growth opportunities in the provincial agriculture industry. Say that five times fast.
So
you know
I'm thinking
what?
I'm
just glad some of that Canadian money's coming down to the U.S. How about that? Boom.
I'm just thinking about how you do this test. So you have six or seven horses, and they're all standing around, and half of them have to be the control group. So they're not getting oats. So what are you feeding them? Are they getting a placebo that looks like an oat? You know, because that's what they do when they test drugs. You would have placebos, you know, that looks like oats. So it's like man-made oats that they're getting, and then you give the others oats. Is that how it happens?
Fake oats versus oats, or just, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that
works. Are they feeding them chocolate or maybe some gummy bears? Maybe they're getting gummy bears.
You know, and you could probably do a dual study, and the control group, you could feed them some other, like, gummy bears, and it could be a gummy bear feeding
Jennifer,
study on horses as well.
Jennifer says they're getting tofu oats.
I love tofu oats. Those are some of my favorites.
Frankel's in the news again. He is now officially ranked the best flat racehorse in the sport's recent history. So, and by the way, he beat out a horse by the name of Dancing Brave, who I'm not going to go through all the crap to go to figure this out, but he beat out this horse named Dancing Brave. And the important part of this story is that both horses are owned by Saudi Prince Khalid Abdullah. So the Saudi owns both the first and the second place horse. You know, you always see these guys buying racehorses over here at Keeneland and stuff during the sales, the Saudi princes, but then you never actually see them actually winning any races. Well, here you go. He owns number one and two. They're just not here in the United States.
Yes, and another side story on Frankel is he has been retired, and they're basically doing all these studies, because it's another studies on money well spent, all these studies on Frankel and his breeding and his bloodlines, and they're saying basically that if you breed Frankel, there is no way your horse is going to lose with the bloodlines. If you match up some certain bloodlines, you will have it's like a guaranteed winner. There's no guaranteed winners in anything.
We should get Frankel together with the Oats lady, and you're guaranteed to win then.
Man, that'd be a lot of money going somewhere. I don't know. Well, hey, we talked a little bit about the FEI deal. The FEI is not going to use Rolex anymore. Rolex is not going to be the official watch sponsor of the FEI, which the FEI, you know, also runs Rolex Kentucky, which is probably the most famous one to all of us and our listeners, because we broadcast them there every year. So, but I think Rolex is going to remain Rolex. But we talked a little bit about it's Longines or something. I don't know how to say it.
It's a really dumb name for a watch. It's what it is.
You know, when did watchmakers have all this money to be spending? Because the partnership, which is 10 years, of being the FEI sponsor, $133 million. They were like, bye-bye, Rolex. See ya. We got this one. $133 million. How much are they making on these stupid watches? Now, I was joking last week or on Monday about talking about how the different watch, you know, it could have been anybody. Why didn't it have to be something that we couldn't pronounce? And I made a joke saying, you know, why couldn't it have been Swatch? Swatch Watch is going to sponsor all of the FEI stuff. Well, guess who owns Longines?
No.
The Swatch Group.
How did they make all their money? How did Swatch, did they sell that many watches? Did you own a Swatch?
You know, oh, my God, in the 1980s, I had the Swatch that was replaceable with all the bands, so you popped out the middle part and you had the different color, like, rubber bands. Oh, it was the coolest thing ever. But I haven't bought a Swatch since I was 7 years old, so I can't say that they're still making a ton of money. Did you have a Swatch?
Well, apparently, I just looked it up, so we finally have an answer to this, and then we'll get to thehorse.com. Longines, or however you pronounce it, is a luxury watches housed in Switzerland. They were founded by this guy in 1832, and it is owned by the Swatch Group, and it's known for its aviator watches. The company director was the friend of Charles Lindbergh, and after his transatlantic flight, Lindbergh designed a pilot watch to help with air navigation, and that's the one that really became popular. So that's a little history behind however you say that name.
Longines.
We're going to get it wrong forever. Well, now it's time to get to the health of our horses with this.
Time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
That's right. It's time for Michelle Anderson with thehorse.com to join us on the weekly horse health report. And we have a returning guest with her today. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Yeah, we have Dr. Amy Gill with us, and she is going to be talking about senior horse nutrition. She's a nutrition consultant over in Lexington, Kentucky, and does a lot of feed-related stuff for horses. So she's here to answer some questions about old horses. Hey, Amy.
Good morning, everybody.
Thanks for joining us.
Have to know, do either one of you know how to say that? Is it Longines? Do you either one of you own a Longines?
No.
But I've had swatches.
Yeah,
swatches.
I had the same batch of swatches. Yeah.
Is it wrong to say who wears watches anymore?
Exactly.
I still see swatch advertised, but yeah, I'm kind of like you. I haven't had one in years.
Yeah, I use my cell phone.
How can these watch companies, see, they're spending $133 million with the FBI. How can they do that? Nobody buys watches. I don't get it.
Wow. You know what? We don't know how, but we're glad they do.
Yes, exactly. Good point.
Go ahead, Jill.
So, well, right before Christmas, we did a webcast with Dr. Diane McFarlane on senior horse care, and it was this great 45-minute-long presentation that she did on optimizing the health of your geriatric horse. And during that presentation, we got a ton of questions specifically about nutrition. So I wanted to bring Dr. Gill on today and address some of these questions that people had. We received hundreds of questions about old horse nutrition. And so I kind of boiled them down a little bit to try to get to the heart of it. So, Dr. Gill, starting out, how is a senior horse different than a young horse or an adult horse to feed?
Well, there's a couple major issues, and the two probably most prominent ones are dentition, the quality of the teeth that are left, because the horse constantly erupts their teeth throughout their life until there's very little left. So the older the horse lives, the lower and lower the teeth get, and to the point where eventually there's nothing or not very much left. So it compromises the initial stages of digestion. So even if you're feeding a horse really good quality hay and a concentrate or supplements, it may not get fully digested because it's not getting broken down correctly from the very beginning stage of digestion, which is chewing the food.
Yeah. So a lot of people are concerned about horses, old horses quitting or hay or feed coming out of their mouth and just not being able to swallow it. But you're talking about the actual mastication of the feed to start
the digestion process. What leads to quitting and that sort of thing. So the key, and then the second problem, of course, is that their digestive tract is a little bit worn out too. So it's not, even when the good quality nutrients are broken down and they're available, they may not absorb them correctly or as in very much quantity like they used to as a younger horse. So you have to find the appropriate type of feed so that makes the availability of the nutrients a little bit better, and then also continue to monitor the horse's health to make sure that you don't have any type of other illnesses or organ problems going on that would further complicate, the ability to digest and absorb nutrients.
And we put this up on Facebook that we were going to be talking about this topic, and we got several questions in from Facebook fans. And along that line, Glenn on Facebook, not our Glenn, but a different Glenn.
Right.
And also Bridie asked about diarrhea caused, or diarrhea in their old horses. Their old horses don't have great teeth. And now they're having diarrhea. Does that have to do with that aging digestive tract?
Yeah, it probably has more to do with disruption to the hindgut and the imbalance in the microbial population there. And the best thing to do for an older horse that has chronic diarrhea, of course, I always recommend everybody, check with your vet and have some blood work drawn to make sure that there's not some specific health reason why the horse has diarrhea. But if you rule everything else out and it really just seems like maybe there's just some hindgut dysfunction, a really good equine sourced probiotic is the best thing to do on a daily basis. That'll help the horse to reestablish the normal populations that should be there if he or she is not able to do that anymore.
Okay. So what nutrients are essential for the old horse?
Well, it's just like everybody. We all have a certain requirement for every single nutrient that you need in order to make all the new things that your body has to make, whether it be muscle tissue, new hair, hoof, whatever. So there's not really one that's more important than others, but some of the ones that we have to concentrate on a little bit more for the older horse would be very high-quality protein. You can't just feed any kind of protein. You need to have a protein that provides amino acids that complement what the horse needs, and generally that we do that with soybean meal in most cases. But because they have a tendency to burn muscle tissue if they're losing weight, just like older people, they'll lose muscle tone. So you want to make sure that your amino acid profile is good for an older horse. And then there's some minerals like phosphorus, for example, that's generally absorbed out of the large intestine. And, again, large intestinal function can decrease in an older horse. So we have to make sure that we have
very not just the right amount of phosphorus, but a good quality phosphorus that's highly absorbable. And, you know, again, vitamin C is another one that we look at. Normally you don't supplement a young, healthy horse with vitamin C. They can make that themselves from glucose in the liver. But an older horse that may have a little bit lower liver function probably will benefit from having some vitamin C in their diet. And, again, that's, you know, again, really basically looking at the organs and the systems in the horse just not functioning up to 100% anymore.
Now, the next question I had on my list was, what are the biggest concerns people should have when it comes to the old horse and nutrition? But on Facebook, everyone's responses kind of sums it up. Their horses are either too thin or too fat.
I was just going to say the exact same thing. You either go one way or the other. And it's, you know, it's the same in people. You know, you either end up too skinny or too chubby. And that is the key thing. And for the horses that are thin, obviously, again, looking at the type of feed that you're using, make sure it's something that's very easy for the horse to chew. And, again, processed feeds here may be the way to go. A pelleted product is already ground up. The horse really, all it has to do is just be able to swallow it, and you can facilitate that by adding water to it. And there's many old horses that live off just kind of a mushy mash made out of balanced pellets that are high in fiber. And, again, the key there is you have to have enough fiber so that the horse doesn't even have to actually eat any kind of long-stem hay. The fat horses, you know, the biggest problem is we all have a very sedentary lifestyle, and our horses do too now. And so there the key is to make sure that you're not feeding very high-calorie feeds at all, and watching pasture, especially, you know, in the regions where there's very good pasture, like Kentucky. Sometimes the pasture is almost too good for some of these old guys that have gained too much weight. So you've got to be able to either set them up with a muzzle, a grazing muzzle, or a dry lot, or really try to increase the exercise. And then look for feedstuffs that are designed for overweight horses.
Mm-hmm. So I was just reading through our AAUP coverage that will be coming out here pretty soon, and
right.
I saw a great quote from one of the presentations that our horses have turned into apartment dwellers.
They have, and I always remind people, I mean, it's really sad, but if you look at some of they did a study not too long ago of the BLM horses, and they put pedometers on them, and the stallions walked somewhere around 45 to 60 miles a day, and the mares and foals were close to that. That's not even near what any of our horses do, and there's regions in the country where horses live in, you know, a 12 by 12 or 12 by 24 runout, and that's it. So they have not evolved past needing, you know, 40 to 50 miles a day of exercise, browsing and grazing on low-quality feedstuffs to obtain their nutrient requirements. So we've changed all that. And in a lot of cases, what we're feeding is, you know, just we have to, in some cases, feed certain things in order to maintain good quality health. But in a lot of cases, the caloric density of these foods is just too much. So that's why I'm saying, you know, there's a lot of research going on of trying to find feeds that are suitable for these horses that are overweight. And, you know, of course, then the other problem is you end up with insulin resistance, which is a big issue in horses as well.
Yeah. So another, you know, issue with these overweight horses is Cushing's, and I think it's one out of three horses when they're old will end up with Cushing's.
Yeah.
So what recommendations do you have for people who are dealing with insulin resistance or Cushingoid horses?
Well, and again, I think the Cushing's is more of an age-related thing, but it may be that the horse has been fed very high-quality, high-starch and sugar feeds all along. So don't wait until your horse is old to start worrying about feeding lower-starch products. Probably ought to start thinking about it as soon as you get the horse, or if you breed the horse, you ought to have a good plan in place at conception almost. I mean, the mare should be maintained on lower starch and sugar feeds. That's probably the biggest thing you can do for the long-term health of the horse and avoiding insulin resistance is starting before any type of clinical symptoms are showing. As far as Cushing's is concerned, you know, there's a clear difference between Cushing's and insulin resistance. If it's a true Cushing's horse where there's a problem with the pituitary gland and you have elevated cortisol levels, and it's been diagnosed by a veterinarian, there are medical treatments that need to be done to that horse.
If it's truly just IR and there's no involvement with the pituitary gland, then it can be managed through dietary means. But there's a clear difference between Cushing's and just insulin resistance or metabolic disease. And you have to work with a veterinarian to determine if the horse needs to be medicated.
Okay. And we have a question from Rebecca Hupfeld that came in on Facebook. And this happens a lot to people
okay.
who move their horses around. So she has a 20-year-old horse that was on senior feed. She moved barns, and now her new stable feeds a completely different feed. Is her horse okay? Is it okay for senior horses to be on feeds that aren't packaged for senior horses?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the individual. If it's a horse that has really great teeth still at age 20 and no medical issues and its body condition is good and there's really no specific problems with the horse, then you don't have to feed it a senior feed. The senior feeds are really designed for horses that are starting to have problems with chewing and nutrient absorption. So, or insulin resistance, that type of thing. If it's a relatively healthy 20-year-old that doesn't have very many issues at all, really, you know, as long as it's doing well on the new feed, I would say that that's fine.
Okay. And I want to go back to those old horses that yeah. are struggling to keep weight on, especially during the winter. I think you guys have a bunch of ice in Lexington this morning.
Oh, yeah.
From what I've heard.
Like that,
yeah. And we've been awfully cold where I am in Oregon also. How or what is the best way to keep weight on your skinny old horse during the
winter?
Well,
the best way to do that is to go into winter in good condition. It's very difficult to get condition during the winter. So make sure that before the cold weather hits or the nasty weather hits or whatever, that your horse is, you know, cranked up weight-wise as good as possible. And then not having to deal with elements is probably the number one best way to keep an older horse from losing weight. Don't subject it to, you know, standing outside in icy weather. It should always have hay in front of it at all times, 24/7. And just, you know, kind of pamper that horse a little bit if it has a tendency to lose some weight in the winter. And the best thing you can do is to avoid shivering and cold. That's going to burn the weight off faster than anything else. So blanket, bring the horse in when the weather's bad, and make sure there's hay in front of it at all times, and then pick an appropriate concentrate that's high in calories, preferably not through starch, but through soluble fiber, things like beet pulp and rice bran and alfalfa meal, and fat. Horses tolerate quite a bit of fat in their diet. It's very dense in calories, and it works really well for maintaining weight in horses that tend to lose condition easily.
Do you have a preferred fat source that you recommend?
Yeah, one of the newest products that I've been kind of checking out comes from palm fat. It's actually a fat that's solid at room temperature. It doesn't have any omega in it. It's just a straight fat source. So there's no omega-6, which is a problem. We have too much of that in our horse diets and not enough omega-3s. But this is completely different. It's actually solid at room temperature. You generally see it in a prilled form, so it looks more like sugar. And it can be added to the horse's diet at a pretty high rate. You can feed up to half a pound or so a day without any kind of disruption to the hindgut. And it's used preferentially as an energy source. So it'll spare keeping a horse from burning muscle tissue and even stored fat. It's actually used preferentially over even stored fat. And the interesting about this type of fat is it has to be used as energy. It's generally not stored at all in the body as adipose. So it's a very interesting product that's come along, actually originated in the dairy industry for very high-end producing cows that tend to lose muscle condition as well.
Okay. And then with these old horses, oftentimes they'll go from being leader of the pack to bottom rung.
Oh,
Yeah. So what can we do about those old horses that are being run off their feed by the young whippersnappers?
Well, nobody's going to want to hear this, but the only way to do that is to feed that horse separately. It either needs to go in a little pen by itself when it eats or be brought into a stall. There's nothing you can do about the rearrangement of the pecking order once that occurs, and they will never get what they're supposed to eat if they're getting run off. So the only option to do it correctly is to make sure that horse is not bothered by anybody else during its entire feeding session.
I have
a lot of
brothers. I had three brothers growing up, and we had the same problem. I should have been separated. I would have gotten more food.
it transcends all species definitions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, our poor old horses.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of work to do it right. You know, I always say that, you know, nothing in life is worthwhile is easy. And, it, you know, for old guys that are, you know, not getting what they're supposed to anymore because somebody else is grabbing it, you just have to figure out a way to keep everybody else away.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Gill, for answering our questions.
Oh, you're very welcome.
There's lots of nutrition questions out there. We see them
I know.
Every day.
I'm glad. That's good.
It's been
a long time coming, but people are really starting to recognize there's a lot more we can do through nutrition.
And for anyone who's interested in optimizing the health of the geriatric horse, that webcast that Dr. McFarland did in December is archived on thehorse.com. You can go under video and then webcast, the most recent one. It's really, really good, and I say that about all of our stuff, but this one... this one was just really exceptional. I know that I learned a lot going through the process of creating the webcast with Dr. McFarland, so it's great information.
Oops. Did we lose Amy there?
Oh, no, I'm still here.
Okay, good. thought we lost you. Well, very good. Well, thank you very much for both of you for joining us today. This is good information, and we all end up with a senior horse at one time or another. That's what
I know. They don't get younger.
No. And they are living longer. I mean, we've done a good job of getting them to live longer. So.
And, we're all going to be seniors, so we all need to take care of our older horses. So when we're old, karma comes back, and we're taken care of.
Absolutely.
Good point. So. Well, thanks, Dr. Gill, for coming on.
Oh,
we
my
appreciate
pleasure.
It.
All righty. Take care.
Take care, you guys. Thank you, Michelle. We'll talk to you again next week. That's thehorse.com.
Bye-bye.
Well, Jamie, we have we needed to just do one more thing here before I think we call it a day, and that is we're going to do a special episode. We haven't done this before. I'm really surprised. We've talked about dogs a little bit, and of course, every horse owner almost has a dog, and we've never dedicated a show to dogs, and we're going to do that next week. And we asked our listeners to post pictures of their dogs and also, you know, what breeds they have. So we'd like you to hop on over to horsesinthemorning.com's Facebook page and post on there what breed of dog you have and maybe a picture of your dog. And a lot of people have posted pictures already.
I am learning so much about our listeners and what they have. You know, for the most part, I'm learning about breeds that I didn't even really know about. Jolyn posted Eyemal Terriers. I'd never seen that. And then there was another one. It was a Cane Corso. And those are the toughest looking dogs. My gosh, they're like English Mastiff looking dogs. And Amanda has those. And the amount of mutts that have been posted. And Tammy Schreiber, I think, wins the best mutt of the day because she calls it a Chihuahua Russell. He's a Chihuahua pug and Jack Russell mix, and this may be the funniest looking dog I've ever seen.
He looks mean, doesn't he? He looks like he's mad. He's just mad about life. And he's going, you crossed me with three of the craziest little dogs ever, and look what you ended up with, and you expect something different.
How could you? It's like a half squished face with an underbite. Oh my God, so cute.
Lots of good dogs. Hey, some greyhounds popping in there, I see.
Yeah, you know what? We want to do a show about horse people's dogs. And I think that what I'm learning here is that pretty much we got to go to mutts. Like the rescues, we need to highlight some dog rescues. East Coast, West Coast, Central United States, just because it just seems to me like most of our listeners are a bunch of bleeding hearts like I am and like you guys are, and we just adopt things.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that is true. Now, there are an awful lot, though, when you think about it, of purebred Jack Russells. And what we were talking about this morning, what the top dogs for horse people have to be Jack Russells, and they have to lead the way. And then corgis are just hugely popular right now.
Yeah, and I was trying to just see if that had changed at all. So I want everybody to keep posting their breeds and pictures or whatever on our Facebook page because I think that I almost think the mutt is taking over.
The mutt has far surpassed the Jack Russells and Corgis, because we haven't seen pretty much any Jack Russells or Corgis. Lots of Australian Shepherds so far, lots of Greyhounds. So, you know, who knows? I did post a picture of Boomer. Did you see that on the Facebook page?
I saw that. He was guarding his horses.
Yes, he pretty much, if he's where he wants to be, it is outside in that exact spot where he is on the ground staring at horses. And
now,
Edward, our racehorse, gallops up and down
right
and
there?
Plays with them. No, that's Duke.
That's Duke? Okay. And I haven't seen a picture of Boomer in a long time. And has Boomer gained some weight, or is it just the way he's laying down there?
That must be the way he's laying down. That dog is so skinny. I feed him, but he runs 72 miles a day. I mean, dear God, the dog never stops. He's so crazy.
You need to bring Boomer over here to the Goss Forest to help find that Arab that went missing.
Oh, he'll find it in 5 minutes. You want me to go find a horse? Okay. That would be his greatest day ever.
We also want to thank Robert and Mike and many others who posted that they voted for us in the ESMA Awards. We really appreciate you doing that. That's very kind of you. And keep the posts coming on Facebook. We love to see your posts over there. Don't forget to get your really bad ads in for Friday. Just hop on Craigslist. Take you 5 minutes to find really bad ads. It doesn't take that long at all. We have the Spur Suader. That's a $50 value where you get to choose between the English or the Western version of the Spur Suader. You can find out what they are at spursuader.com. It's the only spur that Jennifer uses now. And we have a lot of converts. I think Helena, that's the only one she uses as well. So I think that's it. We got to win. What a busy day. What a busy show today.
It has been. I would like to say a big good luck to Ablouissant, who runs tomorrow at Santa Anita Park for her second race. So good luck, Zenyatta sister.
And Mucho Macho Man coming up this weekend. We're so excited that Mucho's running again.
That is true. So everybody have a great day. What? Wicklin? Sorry.
I will keep you informed about what happens with Mucho as well, too.
Oh, definitely. Everybody have a great day. Go ride your horse, and don't forget spay, neuter, and geld.
See you, everybody. Wear your helmet. Good Robin did.